Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to consider three phrases that we find in the New Testament if you have the King James Version. If you have another version, it'll change. This new version is mess up your sermons. But the three phrases are where Paul says, take heed to yourself, take heed to the flock, and take heed to your doctrine. Right? Three things that we should take care of that are very important in our life. Take care of yourself, take care of the flock of God, and take care of the doctrine that you believe in and that you teach. And two of them are found in this particular chapter, chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And Paul here gives his farewell address to the elders, and he mentions a lot of beautiful things. You look at this chapter and you see what a true servant of God should be, what you and I should be like as Christians. And this is something we should strive for. Let's look at verse 17 of chapter 20 of Acts. It says, for my leaders he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. And I've shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. So here you see a beautiful, again, chapter. If you want to see what a servant of the Lord should be like, what an elder should be like, what a missionary should be like, what you and I should be like, is to be this type of a person. And this is something that God wants us all to be like this, to have a heart like the Apostle Paul. But the first I wanted to mention was that verse in verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. And the other phrase, if you look with me to the book of 1 Timothy, and chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, and we begin with verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, and we know that Timothy was a man of God also, who was influenced and led to the Lord by his grandmother, his mother, and the Apostle Paul had tremendous influence in the life of Timothy when he's just a young man, maybe a teenager, and then as he became a young adult and an adult, he was following in the footsteps of Paul, and Paul loved him a lot and spent a lot of time with him and wrote to him, and he wrote this letter and instructs him a lot. Verse 6 says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and all-wise fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. David tells them, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. So these are three areas of life that we should be careful of, whether we're members of the chapel or elders or deacons or those who have leadership responsibility. We all have to watch over these three areas of our life. And the first one we have to watch over is yourself. And Paul says, take heed to yourself. Because if we don't watch ourselves, we won't be able to be of any good for anybody else. It's very important for us to consider ourselves. And one of the things I like to look into is some of the things that we have in the Bible that speak to us concerning our old and our new nature, our new life or the old life. There are many passages in the Bible that picture for us the things that we should be doing as Christians, things that we should get rid of and things that we should put on. It's almost like doing some spring cleaning where you take some things away and you bring some things in. Sometimes I know it's with you, but I have things that I hardly ever wear, and they're in the closet. And we get more things, and we put them in, and you just have a lot of things. I'm the type of guy, just like to wear one pair of pants, and I can wear them for the whole week, unless my wife tells me, you gotta change your pants. Or change your shirt, your suit, have one jacket, or what have you. So there are things you have to get rid of, and other things you have to put up. I don't know about you, but in my family, I'm a keeper. My wife throws away things, which she just waits till I go away for some trip, and then I come back, and I can't find anything in my office. But it's important to have both, right? Because you might be able to, you throw some things that you like to keep, other things you must throw away, and you keep them. So I think God has given us all balance, and that's why we're married to the mate that God has given to us. It makes a beautiful balance. But there are things that we have to get rid of in the Christian life. And I'm just going to show a couple of passages. These are passages that we all know very well, but they would encourage us to look into them. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, speaking about taking care of ourselves, of dealing with our own lives, He speaks about our walk. He speaks about our Christian conduct. He speaks about the old and the new. And these are things that we should take to heart. Those of us who are Christians, we know that we have what the Bible calls the old sinful nature. And we have the new nature. We have the new man and the old man. And the Bible speaks about getting rid of the old things and putting on new things in our lives. Verse 17 says, "This I say, Ephesians 4, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Now here's a contrast here then, about walking in the old ways, in the old mind, futility of mind, that is, people without Christ, they have no concept of what holiness is, of what godliness is, of what righteousness is. They have no concept of really of heaven or even of hell. They have no idea as to what awaits us. The Bible gives us a lot of information concerning heaven and hell, concerning the Christian life, concerning how to live the life. But people without God, the Bible calls them to have a mind that is empty of the things of God. You might have a person who has a lot in his mind concerning whatever government or science or education or sports or what have you. And that mind might be filled with all these things, but if they don't have Christ in their lives, their life is empty of the things that really matter, the things that are important. People put emphasis on things that really aren't important, and the things that we believe are important, they have put no emphasis on. All right. To give you an idea, I don't know how much the President of the United States makes now, but some years ago he used to make $300,000 a year. And you could have a sports person who might make, like somebody that's making just an enormous amount of money, millions of dollars just for hitting a ball and catching a ball and just running around bases. Just a game, right? You might have a neurosurgeon who's dealing with the brain and making tremendous operations, and some of them aren't making as much as a lot of these other football players or baseball players were having. So the mindset of the important things in life, man has no idea what's really important. And what's important to man is really not what's important to God. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, then God takes us out of the mindset of the world, and He helps us to put emphasis on what's really important. And what's important is whatever has to do with God. What's important in life is souls that need to be saved. It's Christian growth, the growth of an assembly, the growth of a family. Telling them right, teaching them the Word of God, and being an example to them. So those things that are really important, because all those other things really don't have that much value, even though man puts a lot of value in it. So the Bible says here that we shouldn't walk like the rest of the Gentiles. I mean, that's what excites the world today. We know what's exciting the world in New Jersey. Is what the Giants are doing. They're on 12:30. They're going to be playing a big game. So you have people say they probably slept at 7 o'clock right over there in the morning, and they're all partying in the parking lot. And this is what excites them. I mean, we get involved with it too. But we don't put that ahead of what we have to do, which is to worship the Lord and be with God's people, right? That's more important. But it says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or the unsaved people in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of the heart. So you have a couple of things wrong with people. Hardening of the heart because there's ignorance in them. And people who reject the Word of God, who say no to the Lord, who don't open this Word, who don't listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, their hearts will become harder and harder, so the Bible teaches. That's why it says today, if you hear the voice of God, don't harden your hearts. As the people of God in all times, when they harden their hearts and they refuse to believe God, God had told them, "I'm going to get you out of Egypt," and He did. He crossed the Red Sea, they got into the desert, the wilderness, and then the land was before them. They sent out spies. The spies came back and told them, "Well, the land is tremendous, flowing with milk and honey. God is definitely with us." Two of the spies said, "We could do it. There's nothing, just like eating bread going out there." The other 10 said, "No, we don't believe it." And because of that unbelief, their hearts became hardened, and they spent 40 years walking around in circles instead of making progress in their walk with God to enter into the promised land. And that happens even today. As Christians, we could spend our whole existence was walking around instead of making progress and growing in the things of God. Don't let your heart be hardened. We have to put emphasis in looking to the Lord, studying the Word of God, and being with God's people, getting excited about the things of God, the things that really excite the heart of God. And then it says in the next verse about people without Christ, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And this is something that's happening and is escalating more and more and more and more. We know this is so. What we see on television, on the movies, out on the street, on magazines, what is being preached and practiced is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. The same one of the problems that we have with the people have with Ashcraft is that he's a conservative. He's gonna follow the law. And a lot of the things that were hidden and things that have been practiced over the last 8 years, he's going to try to turn that from what's going on, trying to do justice and do right. And laws have been given where you have all these rights to do evil, and people who are doing right are considered evil. This is happening, and it should get worse, because this has happened in other parts of the world. It's going to happen here. Right now, I guess years ago, you could have stood in the corner and preached against homosexuality. If you do that now, in some parts of the country, in some parts of New York City, you could get stoned, you could get hit, you could get murdered, really. Islam is coming, the Muslim world is coming into our country. And if you speak against some of these people, they say you're blaspheming against their religion. And you could get hurt. I remember speaking to a man in Brooklyn. There was a Muslim mosque and a Muslim community in the area, and I spoke to them, and as I was speaking to them about Abraham, that Abraham believed in, he saw the Lord, or he believed in the Lord, and through his faith he believed that the seed that was going to come from the descendants were directly descended, Christ would be descended from Abraham, and I told him that he believed in the Lord and Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Christ as being the Savior, as being the God. They believe he was a prophet. Anyway, they're very militant. And it was a young man said, you know, you're blaspheming against God. I could hurt you for saying that. Now, this is right in Brooklyn. This isn't in the Arab world or in some other place. This is happening right here. And things are going to get worse. You're limited. What's going to happen with us is that we have to take a stand, and we have to be willing to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, because we have to get the gospel out. So people are practicing more and more evil, and the work of Christ, this is, the Bible says, uncleanness with greediness. And all the pornography and all the things that are going on today, that comes from the pit of hell, from the hearts of men who have given themselves over. And they say they could practice anything they want. And just think of the words that are going on today. You listen to some of this rap music, and I know you probably have it in your area, but in our area, you have all these guys with the loud radios in the summer. And all you hear is curse after curse, and murder, and rape, and all these different things. This is freedom of speech. I mean, something like that shouldn't be practiced at all. Those guys should be put in jail for saying those things. And, well, this is what was happening. They have lost any feeling for God. They have lost any sense of righteousness, of holiness. They have nothing in their hearts, so they're giving themselves completely over to this. And we need to, as Christians, be on the lookout and be careful what we allow into our own lives. Then it says, on the other hand, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So here's the other side of the story. Now we have been saved. We have been cleansed. We have been given the Spirit of God to live within us. And then he wants us now to grow the other direction. Before we were growing in sin, and you know, sin pays its wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And when a person starts practicing sin, sin will pay wages really good. And you practice one sin, he'll give you something else to do. You keep doing that thing and you do something else. You take an alcoholic, one drink is not enough, two drinks are not enough. An addict, And one shot of heroin is not enough. You have to have a little more, a little more, and a little more, a little more. And before you know it, it's not enough to satisfy your thirst, your desire for these things. So we have to be very careful. That's what Paul says. Take care of yourself. Watch for yourself. In the book of Proverbs it says, be careful what you allow in your heart. Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your relationship with the Lord. Because we're being attacked continually. And Paul says, well, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and through holiness. And just like the old sinful corrupt nature can grow and sin pays its wages, if you become more and more godly, if I as a Christian get closer to the Lord is going to give me more and more and more. And you and I could become more godly, more Christ-like. We could represent Christ well for His glory. So he tells us then a bunch of things that we should do here as Christians. Let's put on a new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. In verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And this is very important. And to tell the truth, speak truth, not only with our words, but with our actions. And then it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. There's another thing that we should be careful with. Sometimes we get angry with our brothers or our sisters, with our wife, with our children. And the idea is, don't let that go another day. Don't let the day go by before you say, I'm sorry, or forgive me, or call a brother and say, I'm sorry what happened at the chapel. I'm sorry if I offended you. That has to be done. A lot of people leave the churches because there's something's going on that nobody knows about, but something did happen. And that person knows, and one or two people know it, and nobody does anything about it. The best thing to deal with a problem is to attack it right away, to confess it. Don't let it go another day. People go through this. Unsaved people do that. Families do that. They have families that don't talk to each other for years and years and years. Something happened in their life, and they're not willing to forget and to forgive. Well, we have to be able to forget, to forgive, and just to not let the day go without settling any problem that we have. So Paul says, take care of yourself. Take care of that area of your life. If you've offended somebody, we do that with words, with actions, with attitude sometimes, with neglect. Well, let's take care of that. Take care of yourself that you might have peace with all men. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And again, here is a matter even of stealing. You know, you could steal in different ways. You could steal from your boss by not working hard enough, or calling in sick when you're really not sick, not giving it 100%. Okay, we could do that in a Christian area of our lives too when nobody's watching it. Well, the Lord wants us to give 100%. There should be a difference between a Christian and an unsaved person when it comes to work. We should give 100%. An hour's work, give whatever you do, the Bible says, do with all your heart, with all your strength. And that it should be a tremendous difference between a saved and an unsaved person. So there are ways of stealing, and we steal from the Lord, don't we? We don't give the Lord enough time. We might give the world more time than we give the Lord. We deal with our offerings. We give the Lord what's left over when the Lord should come first. He should be first in our time, first in our devotion, first in our material things. Everything belongs to the Lord. He has loaned it to us that we might invest it for the glory of God. And the more you give to the Lord, the more you work for the Lord, the more you're investing for glory. And really, your rewards literally are out of this world, right? When we serve the Lord, we're serving and we're setting up an account in heaven. I wonder how big or small our account is. How much are we sending to heaven that will bring glory to His name? Well, you could do that with your material things and with your spiritual things. And then he speaks also in verse 29, let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Our speech should be different. Take care of your speech. Take care of your thought life. Take care of your relationship. Take care of yourself in everything we do. And this is really important, because our speech could either make a person or break a person. It could make a relationship, or could encourage, or it could break down. So we have to be very careful. The Bible says, if you want to become a perfect man, control your lips. Control what you say. Be careful. It's better not to say something if it's going to bring some problems with another person. And then in verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you." So here's a whole list of things that you have to watch for. We have to be reminded on a daily basis, especially in our relationship with our wife, with our children, with our brothers and sisters, right in the assembly, with our co-workers. The Lord wants us to be an example, to be a light in the world. And we're the salt of the earth. If we lose our saltiness, what good is salt if it isn't salty? You throw it away. What good is a lamp that doesn't work? It might be beautiful on the outside, but if it's broken, the light, the bulb doesn't work, you can get something else and use it instead of that place. Even a little candle we bet on the lamp that costs thousands of dollars, but it doesn't work. And that's the way it is in the things of God. God a lot of times uses the little things to confound the wise. Uses the small things who are dedicated to the Lord to confound those things that are so pompous and so glorious. And God is able to do that with you and with me, with this assembly. God can use us here and all the assemblies, all the people of God, to bring glory to His name. And God needs people everywhere, and He has people everywhere. And I believe God will do this continually. Another passage that is important about putting on and taking off is in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, Paul speaking gives us a whole list of things again that we should put on and take off as Christians. And these are things which can creep up every once in a while. And some struggle with some areas more than others. But we all struggle because we're all in the same struggle for the Lord. In chapter 3 and verse 1 it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Then He gives us a whole list of things that we should put off. It says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So these are things that we should be watchful for, because the heart is still deceitful. The heart is still filled with these things. The old nature will never really be fixed up. The only thing God did with the old nature was to crucify it to the cross. So every once in a while it will pop up. You could be sitting at the Lord's Supper and some evil thought comes in, because the devil is actively engaged in trying to cause us to fall, to defile us, to take us away from the mind of Christ or the things of Christ. So you have to be very, very careful. As Christians, we have to be walking with the Lord, allowing Him to control our minds. The most beautiful place on the earth, I'm sure, was the Garden of Eden. And everything was perfect. Everything. Adam and Eve had everything they could possibly want. They had all the fruit. They had all everything God had given to them, all the glory of God. And in that very place, where there was perfect silence, there was no rap music, there was no whatever you have today, you know. They were there walking with God. Christ was with them. They communicated with God. And every morning, apparently, the Lord just talked to them. But the devil came in and tempted them. And Eve listened to Satan. And Adam probably listened to, and then listened to his wife. And they ate, and they brought all this, the problems that we have in the world. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, through that man. But praise the Lord that another man came, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, and He is the one that's able to give us victory over Satan. Now, Christ was tempted in a different position, different way. He was in a desert. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was with the wild beasts. He was tempted of the devil personally. It doesn't say that a snake came around in the form of a snake, but he apparently personally went and tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ defeated the devil, and He defeated him through the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. He defeated Satan. Satan came back time and time and time and time again, but he never was able to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ because he obeyed the Lord with all his heart. He was God and man in one person. He had the power to do that. Now the Lord is able to give us that power, that help that we need to be able to overcome the temptations around us. And that's what the Bible tells us, that we have to walk and understand this on a daily basis. The Lord says here, put these things to death. These things that can creep up, can come up. We have to be on our guard. The Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that so? How many times many of us are willing, we come to the chapel and we're willing, we want to pray more. We want to read more. We want to study more. We want to go to this meeting more. But then the day goes by and the weeks go by and you feel so weak physically and maybe mentally, and you just leave those things aside. But we have to push ourselves to become more and more like Christ. Force ourselves to read the Bible, to study, and put those things out of our mind which are causing us maybe to stumble. So these are things that the Bible tells us here. He also gives us a whole list again, in verse 8. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So here you have those things you have to take care of. These things can creep in, can come in, can dominate our minds. And the Lord says, hey, look, put them off. Actively do something about it. We have to, as Christians. That's the negative side. The positive side is that we should put on some things that are more beautiful. You started a new year. Let's start the year with putting on some new set of clothing. Allowing God to clothe us again. Bring back those things that we had even had before. Sometimes we walk in this world and we contaminate it, and we have to take a bath. Get cleaned up. Start anew. Put new sandals on your feet. And here's what the Bible says here. Verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can you see a whole list of beautiful things that God wants us to put on? This is really good clothing. This is fine clothing that God wants to give us. He wants to take away those old things that corrupt society. People without Christ, they don't speak the right words. They don't think the right things. They don't go to the right places. They don't act the right way. People who know Jesus Christ, you and I should say the right words, do the right things, get involved with what God wants us to get involved with. And this is really important. The world needs to see men and women, boys and girls, who are filled with the Spirit of God, who go around doing good things, who go around doing what God wants us to do, that people might know that we are born again. It is through the love of Christ, the love for one another, that men will know that we belong to the Lord. So here you have two lists then, one in Ephesians, one in Colossians, of things that we should take off and things that we should put on. And Paul says, take heed to yourself. Examine yourself. He tells us in Corinthians, examine yourself to see if you really are a Christian, if you're really born again. Don't just say you're a Christian. Let us not say we're Christians and then live like the devil. Allow God to continually change us. I believe that the Christian life is a continual change of life. Lord changes us every day. The Bible says we grow from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where Paul mentions that concerning chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3. And he mentions that the Lord is changing us. in verse 18 of chapter 3, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's a change going on. Now we see changes in ourselves, you know. I've been here for a while, you see changes in me, I see changes in you. The kids, it changes in us. The kids, children are brutal. They'll tell you what you look like when you're trying to cover up. Isn't that the case with kids? And some adults are the same way. I was at a wedding in Florida. My brother-in-law says to my other brother, "Boy, you really are aging really bad, aren't you?" Yeah, just a little tactic, you know. It doesn't look that bad. You just take a better look at him. But you stand to my brother, you're aged so much. He was he's a little younger than he was. So sometimes we're like that. We're brutal. Well, there are changes that are happening in us, which can be for the glory of God. And you can become more like Christ as you get older and more useful for the Lord. It doesn't have to diminish. Look at chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, there's a change going on. The old, the body, and mentally, we don't have the same capacity. But spiritually, you and I, if we face the Lord, if we spend time with the Lord, we will be able to see a change in our lives. You can see this in people, can't you? You see this in people when they first get saved. Before they got saved, they wouldn't come to the chapel, they wouldn't read the Bible, they wouldn't have anything to do with God's people. Once the Lord saves them, you can't get them away from the chapel, you can't get away from the Bible, you can't get away from having fellowship. God has done a tremendous change in them. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He was a persecutor, he was chasing the Christian, causing them to blaspheme. When he got saved, from day one, he started preaching the gospel. And instead of being a persecutor, he was persecuted by others. But he kept on doing it. Down to the last day, he kept on preaching the gospel because God had done a work in his life. And basically, that's something that we should be doing. Paul says, take care of yourself. Take heed to yourself. If you don't do it, there's a possibility of you being put aside by the Lord and God will use somebody else. Now, Paul, if you look at chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions that about himself. Just like he told the elders at Ephesus to take care of themselves, Paul was very careful about his life. And he strove with himself to fight the fight, run the race, and finish the life that God has given him. Chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians and verse 24. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. That's 1 Corinthians 9:24. Then he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So that's what Paul is very clear about his own life. He says, look, I take care of myself. I'm running a race, but I'm making progress. I'm following the rules. And you know what happens in the Olympics and in some races where people, they step out of line, they don't qualify, the drug test they take, and later on they're disqualified because they didn't do it right. They didn't follow the rules. Paul says here, look, I take care of myself. I discipline myself because there is a danger that unless I walk with God, I will be put to the side because God can't use a vessel that is not clean. This is why the Bible teaches us that God has saved us that we might be holy. And that's probably the biggest struggle that we all have, especially the men, is a matter of holiness. God wants us to be holy. And without being holy in our minds, in our thoughts, in our bodies, in our actions, we're limited to what God can do for us. So God has called us to watch yourself, take care of yourself, look after your life. Because if we don't do that, then the Bible says we can't really go on in the things of the Lord. One more passage that is a beautiful passage in this matter is in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter speaks about adding to our faith. Okay, the Christian life is not a static thing. We're either making progress for God or we're going backwards. And somebody has said, if we don't grow in grace, we'll grow in disgrace. We need the grace of God to keep growing. If we don't allow the grace of God to continue to control our minds, our thoughts, our actions, where we do, where we go, then we're going to go backwards. It is said of those people who are gifted pianists or violinists or whatever, or baseball players, basketball players, or people who are excelling, whatever field it is, they must spend a lot of time doing what they're doing, constantly practicing. When they stop practicing, they lose it. The pianist, he'll notice it, the first himself will notice it, then the other experts will know that he hasn't been practicing, then the audience will know. Same thing in the Christian life. We know in ourselves when we're not walking right with God, and the Spirit speaks to us. And then somebody else will notice that, well, that brother, he stopped praying, or he stopped coming to the chapel, he stopped reading the Bible, he doesn't want to speak anymore. Other people will know it. People in the job will know it. That's why we have to come back to the Lord. We have to get ourselves going again. We got to keep adding things that will help us. And the Apostle Peter mentions that in verse 3 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, 1, it says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. So God has given us all things. Okay, His divine power has given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, you can be godly. I can be godly as a Christian if we allow the Lord to change us. He says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is a corruption, isn't there? And this corruption is getting worse and worse. The desires of men are more rampant. There's more license to do whatever they want to do. And like we say, this whole country is basically divided, almost 50-50. And those of us who are conservative and want to follow the Word of God, we're becoming more and more in the minority. And this is getting really serious. I think it's going to take more for us to take a stand for the Lord. But there is corruption, but God has called us to escape that corruption. We don't have to be given over by sin. Sin doesn't have to pay us. God wants to pay His righteousness. He comes to give us what He wants to give us from His heart. Then He says, verse 5, for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So here's the things that we have to add in our Christian life. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's something very important. You and I, in this new year God has given to us, we want to be a force for God. We want to please God. We want to live for God. In all reality, the Spirit of God wants us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. I mean, this is what God wants. That's what He says in James, that the Spirit of God is longing to take control of our lives in order that Christ might be formed in us. But the problem we have is that we try to run our own life. We try to do our own thing without allowing the Lord to control our lives. So He says, look, start adding some of these things. Add to your faith. Put something in there that God wants to give you. He wants us to be virtuous. Virtue also is a person who is the top of the line. You know? You and I should be the top of the line in the things that God has given to us as far as our devotion to the Lord. And all these different things that you see here, He wants us to add. Now, if we add these things, if we allow God to change us, then the Bible says here in verse 8, for these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says in 2 Peter 4, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we should grow. Real spiritual growth is not so much in numbers, but in the spiritual capacity, spiritual life that is in the church. It is in an individual. How much do we know Christ? How much can people see of Christ in us? That's what God is doing. Everything else is secondary. That Christ might be formed in us. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That is an important thing. How many of us stumble? I think we all stumble. I stumble a lot. Now, if I were to get closer to the Lord, the stumbling would be less. We would learn to walk better. A lot of us are like little children. My son tells us that grandchild, we have two grandchildren now, praise the Lord, a little girl, a little boy, and he lives in Texas, and he's just learning how to walk. And he's still holding on. He's about a year now, what, a couple months? So he's stumbling a lot. What happened, I think what happened to him, he was in Canada visiting the in-laws over there, and he fell down some stairs and probably trying to walk. And probably that's gotten on his mind. He stumbled, so he's afraid now. He's not know when he's going to stumble. That happens to us too as Christians. When we're based in Christ and we start walking, we stumble here and there. But the more you grow, the stronger a child becomes. Not only does he walk, but he starts running. He starts leaping. He starts jumping. He could do all kinds of things. Well, the same thing with the Christian life. We start little steps, but we should add on little by little, and we could walk more and more and more. We could face situations, and like Paul, David said, you could leap over a wall. You could face a multitude of things against you, and you will be victorious over all those things because you're not walking in your strength, you're walking in the might of God, in the strength of the Lord. So we should be adding these things. Paul says, take care of yourself. Look at your old life, put those things aside. Get a new set of clothing this year. Add to your faith. If you add these things, the Bible says that not only will he help you not to stumble, but look at the next verse, verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, there's a day coming when everything is going to be revealed, and there's going to be an entrance. You ever seen some of these either basketball games or what have you, when they introduce all these guys, and sometimes they leave the best one to last, and they name one at a time, and they got this tremendous entrance. They have all this music, all this pomp, all this to the glory of God, that we're bringing souls with us. We work for the Lord. We spend our energies serving the Lord. And the Bible says here, your entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be ready when the Lord comes. Heard of a story of a missionary who had come home after serving many, many years in Africa, and at the same time, in the same boat, Teddy Roosevelt was coming, and you had all the band, all the news media, everybody just welcoming the President of the United States. And here was this missionary who spent his health, his time, all his energies, and nobody even noticed him. And his wife reminded him, dear, the entrance is going to come to glory. That's where it comes. The President had all his pomp and all his things here, but the Christians were looking for that entrance into the presence of God. And he's given us the opportunity as Christians to spend our lives well for him. So the first point then to this message, we'll go on next time, is take care of yourself. Take heed to yourself. We have the rest of this year. May God help us that we might watch ourselves and put effort in getting to know Christ and being involved with him, that we might, as we walk out, be able to tell others that we have been with Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, God, that you have given us so much that we can't even begin, Lord, to measure the wonderful blessings that you've given us. And the greatest blessing of all, Lord, is that you've given yourself to us. And Christ lives in us and we in him. We pray, Lord, that as we have begun this new year, another day, that we might learn, Lord, to put aside those things that destroy both body, spirit, and soul, and allow the Spirit of God to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that if there's any things that are in our lives today that have been a hindrance in our walk, that we keep stumbling over, we pray that the Spirit of God will give us the power to overcome those things. And Father, we pray for thy saints, all the saints from a chapel here, the saints for the chapel that are in Evergreen, God, that you'll bless them. Those who might be sick, that you will restore their health. Those who are sick spiritually, that you will challenge them and help us, Lord, to go out and seek after those who have fallen astray. We ask your blessing for the remainder of this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.